Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome to the Hawk Talk Podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. With Steve Conroy and Charlie Romeliotis. I am Pat Boyle. How are we doing?
Doing well. It's been an exciting 2-3 weeks. I'm ready to get going here.
Yeah, same. What's up, Pat?
What's up, Charlie? it's been fantastic. The team's been fun to watch. There's been individual streaks. There's been streaking in the standings. The trade deadline's a couple weeks away. We'll get more into that coming up in just a second. But let's start with the biggest news of the week, and that was on Monday when Corey Crawford took the ice at the MB Ice Arena and participated fully in the Hawks practice. Charlie, you were there. He was in good spirits. It almost looked a little different than when we saw him in October coming back from, you know, almost the year-long absence. He just seemed much more upbeat, like this wasn't as big a deal, or he hadn't come over this major hurdle that he had with the previous concussion. Just your initial thoughts of the conversation you had with him and where we go from here.
Yeah, I think when he first came back in October, it literally took him a month and almost a month and a half to get his conditioning back. And even after he suffered the concussion, like, we saw him at the United Center the next week, and he's been making these public appearances, and he was on the ice right before the Hawks hit their All-Star break. I'm sure he skated a few times in between there as well. So he's been on the ice. I don't think it's really getting his conditioning back for him. I think it's just tracking pucks, and it sounds like he's ready to go. And if that's the case, the Hawks have an interesting situation with their three goaltenders, but it's a good problem to have because Crawford could join this stretch run and the Blackhawks are kind of inching it closer to that playoff picture.
Yeah, I would think he would need maybe a week of practice with the team. I don't think conditioning is going to be an issue. It's all about, you know, timing and you know, playing the puck and seeing a little bit of game action, even though it's within a practice. So, you know, first and foremost, we're so happy that he's going to be, you know, that he's healthy. And,
absolutely.
You know, here's a guy who's got a young child. He's you know, relatively newly married, and he's got the rest of his life ahead of him. So you certainly don't want to see any of the, you know, some of the quote unquote side effects that concussions can have. And it looks like, you know, he's out of the woods as far as that goes. Secondly, I think it's going to breathe a breath of fresh air into this team, not because the goaltending's been bad, but because you've got Corey Crawford, you know, a guy who probably should have been mentioned for the Vezina a couple of times in his career already, and he hasn't won it yet. He has won a couple of Stanley Cups, and he is a bona fide leader on this team. So I think it's good news all around, and, you know, it's going to be a shot in the arm for the team.
So with the Hawks' next game on Thursday against the Devils, I would assume, Charlie, we haven't got word yet of what day they're going to practice. I would assume they're going to practice Friday maybe after Thursday's game. So he'd get that day off. Now, again, he can take shots from, you know, some alumni or some coaches here over the next couple days. But as far as getting that timing back, it's going to be interesting because, you know, Delia didn't have a tremendous effort in Boston. It was okay. I would expect Cam Ward to be in there Thursday night against the Devils, but, you know, it may not be a bad spot here. You know, maybe that Senators game as the game to kind of break Corey back into the crease against the worst team in the NHL, points-wise.
Right. I think it's just going to be interesting because how do you manage Cam Ward and Colin Delia? Like, are you going to send Colin Delia back to Rockford, or are you going to look to see if there's a market out there for Cam Ward and if he's willing to waive his no movement clause, or do you carry three goaltenders? I'm not sure that's a route I would prefer. It's You rarely see it in the NHL, but it is an option until at least until you get to the February 25th trade deadline. But I don't know. Once you integrate Corey Crawford back, then you've got yourself a situation with Delian Ward.
And I think you bring up a good point, Charlie. What's the most important position, you know, in the playoffs going into the playoffs?
Goalie.
It's goalie. So let's look at a team like the Vegas Golden Knights, who I know are playing tonight, who have relied very, very heavily on Marc-Andre Fleury. Malcolm Subban has been okay. He hasn't been great. And lately, I think he's lost his last couple of starts. You know, do the Vegas Golden Knights look for some help between the pipes in the way of a guy who's won a Stanley Cup and also been a Conn Smythe winner in Cam Ward? And you also mentioned that Cam Ward has a no-trade clause. That is true. He would have to waive that. Would he waive it? What would the Vegas Golden Knights give up? And I'll tell you what, Vegas, from what George McPhee has done since this team was born a couple of years ago, he has stockpiled draft picks, and he has got a ton of draft picks for next year, or for this year, and, you know, that could be a bargaining chip.
Cam Ward's on the final few holes of his career. You know, with Delia signing that three-year extension earlier this week, the writing's on the wall that he is the going to be the backup to Corey Crawford here and maybe succeed Crawford in net as the number one netminder. So, yeah, what you do is you see if there's a market for him. You go up to him and say, hey, you won a cup in 2006. You can have a shot to win another cup and also put yourself in position to do one more, you know, contract with another team. So, you know, and the worst he says is no. If he says, you know, I know he moved his family here, and but again, like, you know, the short-term thing is it's only, you know, you're going to a team at the end of February, you're going to play March, and you're going to go try to win a cup. It's not like you're parting ways from your family for a year.
And you don't typically see teams that are in the playoff spot right now, like, aren't typically going to acquire a goaltender because they usually have that position solidified. But acquiring a guy like Cam Ward for the stretch run, basically just to get you from February 25th to the end of the season, it's not necessarily go out and get the best backup goaltender so he can, you know, because if you lose your goaltender in the playoffs, you're pretty much done. So it's really, I was thinking Vegas too would be a great fit for Cam Ward. Just get a veteran back there just in case, you know, just to take some of the load off Marc-Andre Fleury from now until the end of the season, because it looks like Vegas is kind of locked into that three spot in the Pacific because San Jose and Calgary are just going neck and neck right now.
And let me throw one more team out there, and it's crazy because they've got two goalies that they like in Calgary, Mike Smith and David Rittich. David Rittich has not played a playoff game, and he is their number one guy. Mike Smith has struggled mightily this year. Could he come in the playoffs if Rittich should falter? Possibly, but I think that'd be a great insurance plan to have. And keep in mind, too, that Cam Ward, born about 3 hours north of Calgary in Edmonton, that could be a possible destination, too. But, you know, I think we're getting way ahead of ourselves. He's got the no-trade clause. Does he want to do that? And, you know, possibly maybe sign another one-year deal somewhere.
All right, so besides the goaltending situation and when Corey Crawford will return, let's move to the rest of the team. The seven-game win streak comes to an end in Boston. I'll just throw it out to you. Either you can take the winning streak as a whole, or you could take the outcome in Boston. Your biggest takeaway from this recent run by the Hawks?
Yeah, for me, it's obviously been the power play, but also the consistency from their top four. I mean, this has been the biggest run of the season where they haven't touched top six forward group, where that first line with Kajula, Taves, and Kane has been consistent. DeBrincat, Strome, Cahoon. In Boston was the first time we actually really saw that get split up. And you know, it was kind of a desperation mode. So, and Pat, who did we see together?
We saw DeBrincat, Strome, and Kane. You know, certain people have been clamoring for that. And I'll be honest, I thought I liked what I saw. Okay, enough said on that. But for the most part, you're right. Power play has been fantastic. The PK has been better than it was. It was, you know, look, they allowed two power play goals in Boston, technically a third as one power play expired. But that is, in this tightly contested National Hockey League that we're in right now, where parity exists, special teams decides a lot of these games. And the PK is going to have to come up a little bit more because the power play law of averages is going to come down. You're not going to connect. And right now, I mean, you know, this is the biggest slump that they've had in recent weeks. And now, you know, but it's that's an area that you knew was going to come back to the mean.
Yeah, well, you knew that was going to drop. Hopefully the power play does get a little better. And, you know, what Charlie was talking about this run, yeah, the power play is just off the charts and the top six guys doing a great job. They were scoring a lot of goals, and that was covering up, you know, maybe some deficiencies the Blackhawks have. And you just look at the last, you know, during the seven-game winning streak, they're giving up, what was it, 36 shots tonight, 36 shots against the Detroit Red Wings, 35 against Vancouver. I mean, they've had a couple of 40s over the last 10 games also. So it's great that they're winning, but if you want to win meaningful games, especially late in the season and in the playoffs, you can't be giving up 40 shots a night. So, you know, I think that's an area they can tighten up, and it's still a systems thing with Jeremy Colliton, and they're still learning those in practices, and they haven't had a ton of practice time with JC as the head coach, but that's something that they've got to nail down because, hey, listen, right now those top six guys have been red hot. They're not going to stay red hot forever. You've got to start winning some games 2-1, 3-2, and we haven't seen a lot of those types of scores lately with the Hawks.
Yeah, and I think another big part of this is they've been winning games that they probably shouldn't have. You know, they've been finding ways to squeak it out. The Detroit game, it was 2-0, and then they, you know, they pulled within striking distance, and then the Blackhawks pulled ahead. Like, they're not getting down on themselves once the games get close. When that losing streak, that eight-game losing streak, it was everything was going wrong for them. And even when they did play well, like, they still couldn't find a way to overcome it. So that's what they're doing now.
And during that eight-game losing streak, remember how many times they would fall behind in the first period and give up multiple goals? You know, that was what killed them in the Boston game. They get the early lead, but they surrender three straight goals to the Bruins late in that first period. They're 1-5 this year when they allow three goals or more in the first period. Their only win was against the Senators to start the season. Okay, let's talk about Patrick Kane. It's 15-game point streak. He continues it in Boston with an assist on Gustafson's goal. He's got a 14-game assist streak. I was looking at some numbers. You know, you could make an argument that this streak that he's on right now is almost more impressive than the 26-game point streak that he had in 06 in 2016.
Yeah, I would agree. And he's doing it with, I mean, he's doing it with Jonathan Toews and Drake Kajula on his line, not Artemi Panarin. And I just think his numbers during the streak are more impressive than they were during his 26 gamer. Like, he is, I think, what, 31-ish points during this 15 game? That's more than 2 points per game.
Right.
Like, that's an absurd rate. And you see the other night when he's hot, I mean, he didn't play his best against Detroit. And he finds a way to get 2 points out of there in the last 4 minutes. Like, they're just falling into his lap. And it's coming. It hasn't come that easy for him during this point streak, but when you're on, and he's clicking on all cylinders.
You know what's impressed me? He's 30 years of age. It's 12 years in the NHL. I'm looking at the top scorers, the leaders, and McDavid's 22, Kucherov's 25, McKinnon's 22, 23. I mean, all these guys, every single guy is 25 and under. Marner's up there. Matthews, I think, is up there too. And the other thing is, all these guys are playing with guys. It's like a 1-2 punch, like Ronton and McKinnon. They're both in the top 10. And
Matthews, Marner.
Bergeron, Marchand. I mean, that combo.
Yeah.
And what is the Kane combo? Where we're still... You know what I mean? We're still
exactly.
Don't know.
Yeah. He has not had a combo yet. So he's kind of doing it by himself. He's doing it at an older age. And I'll never forget a conversation I had with Sam Gagne, who played with Kane.
Yeah, in the OHL.
In the OHL with the London Knights. And he said, listen, this guy, it's undeniable. He was born with a God-given talent, but he works at it. And Pat, you know that as well as anyone, because he's dragged guys down to Southern Florida to work out with Daryl Belfry, the skills coach down there. He's dragged guys up here to Chicago to skate with them extra time in the summertime. He works at his craft, and there's not many superstars who are willing to do that, but number 88 does.
It's not a coincidence that it has come – you know, after the 2015 cup winning year where, you know, he pretty much changed his off ice life and has been, you know, totally committed to, you know, one of the loves of his life, which is hockey. And Charlie, you talk about this a lot, and I think you know we've seen it with Dylan Strome entering the Blackhawks dressing room and see that chemistry with Alex DeBrincat. We're like, okay, those two guys, they eat, sleep, drink hockey. They talk about it. They talk about the other games that are going on in the NHL. Those conversations carry on with Patrick Kane. We know some guys where you're like, yeah, I don't know if he really likes the game as much. And I guess it's inevitable. Not everybody is going to just drink the whole thing up and want to be out on the ice all the time. Patrick Kane is one of those guys, and that's why he's among the leaders, even though he's 30 and the rest of the guys are in their early 20s.
Yeah, some guys are different where they like to get away from the rink and just not think about hockey. Patrick Kane and Dylan Strome and DeBrincat, who we mentioned, they go home and that's how they're getting better, is they're watching other guys around the league. How am I evolving? And even matchups, like you come into a game, like you asked Patrick Kane about the Boston. I bet you yesterday he was thinking, oh yeah, they had a really good game the other night, but Patrice Bergeron and Marchand were clicking on. Like, he already knows what they just did the other night. And that's very important going into your game as well.
It's like having a coach who's playing. And he knows teams as well as anybody. He studies that, obviously, but he just knows. He knows a lot about everything, and especially the way teams are playing. And if you talk to him about guys on the other team, he's got as good a scouting breakdown as anyone I know in the NHL.
You know, you bring that up, and I'm thinking of an instance in the Boston game. I think it was Kajula who had Bergeron defending him, who was, you know, playing the role of a defenseman. And Eddie pointed out that, you know, you should notice that is a forward and force him to, you know, skate backwards and try to make a mistake and take advantage of that. That's something when we read the different athletic reports about, you know, Patrick Kane down in Florida, he not only knows what defenseman or what forward is out there, he knows if they're left-handed, yeah, right-handed, which side he wants to take advantage of when he goes behind the cage. Those are just the little nuances that set him apart from everybody else.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast over the summer, and Patrick Kane was one of the guys with Daryl Belfry back in Florida and Charlie McAvoy. They would all go down there, and they would be a sponge when Patrick Kane was down there. And one of the instances was, like you said, Patrick Kane was behind the goal, and he recognized what shot the defenseman was, a right-handed shot left. So he knew that he could make a pass because the guy was offhand, and he would have to. And Charlie McAvoy, you notice that? And Patrick Kane's like, you know, like, that is, I mean,
like, doesn't he responded almost like, doesn't everybody, but yeah.
But it's like he doesn't even have to, he just know it's,
yeah, it's
just
a sixth,
it's
sense,
second,
right?
Yeah, it's, yeah, second,
well,
nature to him.
It's a microprocessor that he has, which is his hockey brain, and it's like no other microprocessor in the NHL.
All right, so besides Kane's streak and the win streak coming to an end, we've got the trade deadline looming, less than 2 weeks away, guys. And I think, you know, if you polled me 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, month ago, I mean, on and on and on, I'd be seller, 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 seller. When they climb back into the discussion, I can understand hearing from folks that say, like, well, you know what? There's a lot of people that are in this race. Maybe you make a couple of moves, but also look to make a couple of additions. I think deep down, I would see them more as a seller than a buyer at this deadline, but it is going to really be interesting to see how Stan Bowman attacks this trade deadline.
I agree. I think time is on Stan's side. I just looked at it quickly. Up until February 24th, which is the day before the trade deadline for the Blackhawks, they've got six games. So that's an eternity in NHL parlance, because, you know, you could pick up, if they go on another run, they could pick up another 12 points, and all of a sudden everything changes. But that being said, I think should they start to falter, I would be in the camp along with you, Pat, where you try to maybe make some deals to make yourself team better for next year. And also with the thought that, hey, listen, if we slide in the standings, okay, well, that's part of the nature of the game. We're going to end up with a better draft pick and possibly even our lottery pick, whether it's, you know, the Jack Hughes is a capo caco.
Yeah.
Or Capo Caco. So that ain't too bad either. But, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself either. There's still 2.5 weeks of that time or 2 weeks of that time. There's still 6 more games. That's lots of hockey.
Yeah, I still think they should lean towards being sellers, but it's a tough sell to the players if you continue this streak and you see other teams in the Western Conference. Like, they had to jump 6 teams, and during the winning streak that before they lost to Boston, like, they only had 2 or 3 more teams to jump, depending on what the other teams do. So right. It's difficult to sell to your players and to your fan base that you keep saying, you know, it's playoffs. We still believe this is a playoff roster. I still think big picture they should look to sell off some spare parts and just make sure that they're looking at – I don't think they're going to do anything big. Like, I don't think that any major moves are coming where they're going to sell off a big piece. Mm-hmm. But I do think if they can sell off some spare parts they're a fourth line or whatever, create a spot for a young guy to come in, maybe provide some more life, see what they have so they can evaluate what if this guy can be part of the equation going forward, I think they'll do it.
And as Patrick Sharp pointed out on our last podcast – the addition or the return of Corey Crawford, it works like a trade deadline acquisition. You've been keeping things afloat since late December without a top 5 goalie in the league. If you assume he comes back to form like we saw him, like he was able to do at the beginning of this season, that can only uplift the group or inject some enthusiasm in the group. And you mentioned the 6 games before the trade deadline. They play the Devils, they play Columbus, the Senators, Detroit, Colorado, and Dallas. Only Columbus and Dallas are teams in the playoff mix right now. So, you know, the majority of those games are against teams that are out of the playoff picture. And to update things on what happened on Monday night, Minnesota, I'm sorry, was tonight Monday?
Yeah, Tuesday.
No, today's Tuesday. Yeah, I thought so. Tuesday. So Minnesota lost to Philadelphia. St. Louis won. So the Hawks are 4 games back, Rain, 4 games back of Minnesota for that second wild card. So they did get some good news on that front. But, you know, you take a look at these teams that are upcoming, they could make some hay against the Devils, the Sens, Detroit, and, you know, Colorado, who's, of course, fighting for that wild card spot in front of them.
Well, you could. And New Jersey, this next game up, too. Remember, the New Jersey Devils kind of spanked the Blackhawks 8-5, just less than a month ago, basically,
yep,
back in New Jersey. So there's some payback there. It's interesting to go over and look at the schedule, and it'll probably come down to the last few games. And you look who we play. It's, you know, they're on the West Coast, and it's Colorado. They come home to play Colorado. Then it's Arizona, San Jose, L.A., and then they finish up against the Winnipeg, St. Louis, Dallas, and then Nashville on the road. That all being said, it's just going to be game by game, I think. And then when you get to the 24th, you see where you stand. And if you're within striking distance, you go for it. And if not, I think you start to sell. And like you said, Charlie, it's not going to be a major trade, but it's going to be some pieces maybe in the bottom third of your lineup that aren't going to affect you that much, that might clear up some cap space, that can allow you to do a few more things next year.
Coming up, the guys will give us their bold prediction for the trade deadline. That's next on the Hawks Talk podcast.
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast with Steve Conroy, Charlie Romeliotis. I'm Pat Boyle. All right, boys, we are less than 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. We've kind of mapped everything out here. The race is still on to get the wild card. A half dozen games to go before the deadline. Give me your bold prediction, something that you think Stan may pull off between now and February 25th.
Well, you know what? I hate to name names, but I'm only going to name them because there's a lot of teams that are interested in Artem Anisimov. And he's a very useful player. He's a third-line center. He can kill penalties. He can be on your power play. He's had playoff experience in the past. Of course, he played in the East Coast with the New York Rangers and Columbus Blue Jackets. Does Columbus maybe knock on that door to see if Artie wants to come by for a playoff run if the Blackhawks are out of it? So I'll just throw that out there, that I think Artem Anisimov might be in play because he's had a pretty solid year, and there's teams that are craving a big centerman who plays his role.
I'll say – I don't know if this is a bold prediction just because maybe they have to, but I'm going to say Cam Ward gets traded. I know there might not, you know, you look at the numbers and you think there might not be a market for him, but I think the Blackhawks have to find a way to keep it Corey Crawford and Colin Delia going forward. And whatever you have to do, the Blackhawks have about $5 million in cap space right now as well. So they can eat salary if they wanted to get Cam Ward out. And I think Cam would probably be open to it if this is his last hurrah and you have a chance to go to a team just to be, you know, a backup or just to be that veteran leadership in a locker room, go get a cup for the last 3-4 months of the season. I think he would be on board for it.
All right, and my prediction is going to be that Marcus Kruger gets dealt. And to sweeten the deal, they also move Gustav Forsling, who okay. I think has been very up and down, injury prone. And they've got a logjam of young defensemen coming up, and I don't know exactly if there's a chair for Forsling. So we'll see what happens. We bat about, I don't know, 300 on these. So we'll see what happens.
I wish.
Thanks.
Really quick, I want to get your guys' thoughts. At what point do you guys think the Blackhawks will become buyers? Like, if they win, let's just say they go on another 3 or 4 game winning streak, like, do you think they'll, and at what degree, to what degree?
I still think Stan is in buy mode, even though he's in sell mode. Like the Dylan Strome thing, for example.
I agree.
You know, is an example of you dealt a quality player in Nick Schmaltz, and you acquired what he said were two NHL players in Perlini and Strome. Now, I don't know where Perlini, if he's even going to – I don't get the sense he's going to fit long-term with this team. But to me, wow, like already, regardless of Nick's status because of the injury, I just think – Dylan Strome likes hockey more than Nick Schmaltz. And Dylan Strome, while he doesn't have all the gifts that Nick Schmaltz has, wants to work harder and improve and has that hockey IQ.
And I'll add something to that. I think that if they're within striking distance on the 24th and Stan believes, and he did believe that this is a playoff team, I could see him going after a Ryan Zingle, DeZingle. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be an unrestricted free agent, so... You know, it's no guarantee that he'd be here next year, but I think if he comes in, sees the operation the Blackhawks have, he'd be playing in his hometown. Boy, what a marriage that would be. And I really like that kid as a player, too. So, yeah, that could be a possibility, too.
Yeah, it would just be interesting if they rattled off 4 wins in a row and then they win that Colorado game in 2 weeks right before the trade deadline. And they somehow find themselves in a wild card spot. Let's just say other teams have a couple games in hand, but they find themselves in. Like, at what point do you give up futures? Like, you're giving up draft picks to, like, you know.
Wow.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm just presenting the idea because it's so much closer.
Because so many teams are in it, I think the asking price is going to be through the roof. I mean, we saw what, you know, Muzzin garnered back. I mean, they're not going to give up first round picks.
Oh, I agree.
Or second round picks. Those days, I think, are gone. I think you're going to make smart, sensible moves.
Does this color the picture? John Tavares last year was with the New York Islanders. They got nothing for him. They're a better team this year. So
amazing.
The teams look at that and say, hey, listen, maybe we just let guys go for free and that will be better.
Great stuff. Should be a wild 2 weeks. It's been fun to watch this team. Hawks back in action Thursday night when they host the New Jersey Devils. We'll have the Columbus game Saturday night on NBC Sports Chicago. For Charlie Romeliotis, for Steve Conrad, I'm Pat Boyle. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Hawks Talk podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. We'll catch you next time.